Under the Scope.
Hey, Scope fans. Jared and Shane back with another Scope movie review. It's exciting to be together.
On the road for the first time. We haven't done a truly mobile review in a long time.
We are on our way back home after seeing a movie that's gotten Oscar buzz, or at least for Best Actor. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Michael Keaton's Birdman, or what's the...
Something about the virtue of ignorance.
Virtue of ignorance. So, this movie is being hailed, appropriately or not, as Michael Keaton's comeback role. Maybe he doesn't feel like he ever went anywhere. I don't know.
He's been around.
He's done a few things. But it's an interesting little film that I think is going to be difficult to describe.
But
before,
kind of, yeah.
before we get to that, you should maybe get into who starred in it, and then we'll try to work our way through what this film was about.
All right. Well, as you said, Michael Keaton is in the title role. Yes, also joining the ranks, you've got Edward Norton, you've got Naomi Watts, you've got Zach Galifianakis, Amy Ryan, Emma Stone, and another female role, which I've forgotten her name, and I don't recognize her from anything. So.
But she was great.
Sorry. She was great. This is written and directed by Alejandro González Iñárritu.
Very good, Jared.
Iñárritu? It's a tough name. There's an ñ, there's some accents.
There's a lot going on with this name.
I'm sorry I butchered the name, but...
If my daughter were here, she definitely would nail it down for us.
No doubt.
Like that. So, what's it about, Jared?
Sorry, what's it about? Well, our title role is Regan Thomas, or Thompson, played by Michael Keaton. He is, it's not based on his real-life persona, but there are definitely parallels. He's an actor who is probably best known for starring as the superhero Birdman.
Yeah. Not a very cool superhero.
Not the best, but... he did 3 Birdman films and then decided he was done. He didn't want to do a fourth one, so he walked away. And apparently he's had a bit of an up and down since then, trying to find his way in Hollywood. Whoa, hello.
Wow, mobile studio.
Yeah. So to try to, I guess, get himself back to respectability, he decides to adapt a book by, who was the author? Do you remember?
I can't even remember. I don't even know if it was a real author.
It may not have been a real author, but he tries to adapt this book by apparently it was an author who had seen him in a high school or college play.
That inspired him to essentially become an actor.
Exactly. So he's produced... No, he's not producing, but he's
directing, producing, and starring.
Zach Galifianakis is
the producer. Yes. His lawyer friend.
Yes.
Maybe he's a lawyer, we don't
know.
So
the film is essentially about the sort of the trials and tribulations of trying to stage this play. Near the end of rehearsals, they're going into preview and up through opening night.
Mm-hmm.
They have to replace an actor. Edward Norton ends up taking in the role. Yeah. Apparently, he's some sort of big-time theater guy.
Yeah.
He gets butts in seats.
He's a bit of a quack.
He is. He's
a bit of an asshole.
He's sort of a method guy a little bit. Sort of like Edward Norton himself, who's a bit method.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah.
This isn't particularly a spoiler, because the opening scene starts with it.
Yeah.
As... there's this subplot that goes through where Regan might be some sort of superhero, or he's actually a superhero. He has the power of telekinesis.
He may or may not have actual abilities,
or
could just all be all in his mind. It's never plainly said, and you're sort of...
left guessing.
You're left guessing. I mean, it could go either way, really, with how things are sort of explained.
Mm-hmm.
So
that is in broad stripes or swaths what the plot is about.
Yeah. Strokes. We call them strokes.
Strokes, thank you. That's the key word.
It's as if we're painting it.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
So, Jared.
Uh-huh.
I'm struggling with this movie.
Are you?
This is... I mean, by all intents and purposes, this is an art house film.
Yes.
It's
literally about theater, which is about as arty as you get.
This is a story that... I don't want to say cautionary tale, but it has commentary on the idea of celebrity.
Yes.
The idea of what it is to be a celebrity in modern day versus what you were in your previous life.
What is it? What is art? Can Hollywood acting, film acting be truly art, or is art, is that reserved only for the true theater?
Yes. It's about critical analysis of art. It is about being a father. It is about the city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
It is about mental illness, perhaps.
Very much so. I mean, our title, our main character is not the only character who is clearly struggling with mental illness.
Yeah.
Most of the characters in this film are broken in some fashion.
Yeah. So, I'm going to speak plainly.
Okay.
There's a lot that I think this film is trying to say.
Yeah.
I don't know if I understand everything that it's trying to say. So I feel like a bit, you know. Is that
good or bad? Do you think you're understanding it, or did the film not do a good job of conveying it?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know for sure. I don't know if it's me sort of lacking the basic critical analysis, or the analytical skills to process something like this. Me not having enough life experience. To understand everything that's going on.
Well, you're definitely not in your 60s, not a washed-up actor, yeah. Not a...
New York resident, not a theater fan.
You are a father to a daughter, yep. But not in a broken home scenario, so...
And, you know, part of my not understanding it also may sort of tie into how the film was made. I mean, we haven't really talked about that,
right.
But it is shot with a series of...
It's meant to look like one continuous
yeah,
take.
It's like a one-act play,
yeah.
Almost. That's how it feels. And it's very linear.
Yep.
It's the same very, very tight spaces.
It's all shot mostly in this theater, which has these really confined hallways, a lot of dressing rooms, a lot of real small, tight, claustrophobic spaces. It's the same cinematographer who did Children Are Men.
Yes. And so, you can sense that.
Yes. He's very good at the continuous take shots.
It feels like West Wing Aaron Sorkin on crack sometimes, the following shots. And then it also has this jazz drum soundtrack.
I wasn't vibing with the drums.
Yeah, it pulled me out of the film quite. It was a struggle.
It was too affected, in my opinion.
It was trying. I mean, it was figuratively trying to set the beat, right?
Right.
I mean, of the rhythm of the play or the rhythm of the movie.
Right. It got more frenetic as our characters' emotions got more frantic. So,
except when they went on stage, and then it became a symphony. You notice that the drum goes away. So sometimes the film lacks subtlety. Maybe that was intentional. Maybe it wasn't. But
I feel like, given how the entirety of the film was staged, for that the music to not be completely intentional would be a mistake. So I'm gonna believe that every music was chosen for a specific purpose.
Yeah, I don't.
Whether or not it was successful in its goal is another story.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I mean, I think the film as a whole is extremely calculated. And like I said, it might be too smart for me. Then again, it might be too smart for its own good. I don't know. I don't know for sure. I don't really know how to process it. I mean, I think the acting was. I think it was interesting. Sometimes it felt too much like a play when they weren't in the play. And I don't know if that's just how it was. I mean, once again,
I can see that. That I think that's a bit of a byproduct of the intricate choreography of the shots.
Yep. Yep.
Is you sort of have to hit your mark every time.
Yep.
So maybe that leads you to the being a performance that is more theatrical.
And maybe that was an intentional decision on the director to say, we're watching a play within a play, and we're going to play it like a play.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
So I think once again, it comes down to personal choice.
Okay.
You know, on what moves you and what doesn't. That's sort of how I feel about what is. I mean,
I'm not sure you've given any sort of qualitative.
I don't know yet. I want to hear what you have to say. Okay. Maybe that'll color what I have.
Well, first and foremost, I will say Michael Keaton. This was a fantastic performance.
Okay.
I mean, he completely inhabits his character.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great, and this character has depth and emotion and dimensionality to him, which is wonderful. And I thought it was interesting how difficult must it be to be acting as an actor who is also acting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Who wasn't always a good actor within the...
Right, but at times he was fantastic, especially towards the end. I don't know, I was really, really moved by his performance, especially near the end. I thought it was really, really good. Some of the other roles don't get as much time to really develop. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying their performances were terrible. I mean, across the board, everyone's performances were good to exceptional. So, we got a little tagging here. Nice. in the building here. So, you know, obviously this is the quality of the acting, I don't think is in doubt at all. It's, I think it comes down to whether or not you like the style, and I didn't mind the style. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a nice choice.
Okay.
There you go.
And the structure of the film. We talked about it being long corridors, tracking shots.
I liked it for the most part. It felt a little gimmicky after a while, in my opinion. And there were some shots where I actually felt a little bit nauseated.
Okay.
So, like, I mean, that's not like we were doing any sort of dramatic shaky cam or anything like that. But I just think some of the sweeps and movements sort of made me a little bit queasy. But
if you talk about how it was utilized in Children of Men.
Yeah.
Which was one long battle scene.
Right. And then it was there to underscore a very key moment in the story.
So it was such an impactful moment, an impactful 15 minutes or so. And the same thing happens in, there's some great tracking shots in, like, Saving Private Ryan as well. This movie is all that.
It sort of loses its impact.
So it loses, maybe it loses its importance a little bit, but it's a stylistic choice.
Yeah,
so,
but that's what it feels like in the end. It's just like, man, this is just the way we're going to tell the story.
Yeah.
I don't know that if there's a message to why the cinematography was done that way, I'm missing it.
Sure.
To me, it just feels like it's just, this is a fun way to approach it. We're gonna try to do this. It's going to be technically challenging, but hopefully you'll enjoy the ride.
You'll buy into it.
Yeah, I didn't get any greater meaning from it other than that. So
there you go. Do you feel dirty critiquing this film after there was an utter destruction of a critic in the film? Talking about how critics just use flowery language but don't really understand what goes into being an actor.
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
It's a story. I didn't identify it so much that I was going to take that message away.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm just got to keep you honest sometimes, Jared.
Well, you do. Got to keep me on toes.
Jared, can we discuss how we can make the job of a UX designer easier by bridging the gap with the development team? Or is that not an appropriate?
I think that's
Is that too inside baseball?
That's a little inside baseball here.
Okay, instead of doing that, let's stop talking and give this a score.
The Scope score is 3 stars.
So 3 stars.
It's a solid B on the Scope scale.
Mostly because of Jared's intelligence and my stupidity.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I knew a little bit about it going in, so
I think that I'm going to have a lot to say about the Dumb and Dumber sequel. I'm really going to be able to understand that.
Coming up in a couple weeks.
So, there we go. Birdman, blah, 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 virtue of being ignorant. It's a lot of words, Jared.
Yeah.
It's a smart film. It's an interesting film. It's got a standout performance by Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it's unique for sure. If nothing else, then it's worth it for that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Michael Keaton performance, not surprised at all if he shows up in the Oscar nominations for Best Actor.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
He doesn't win, I don't know, but I think it's definitely a performance worthy of that.
By the way, Michael Keaton is a great actor.
Oh, yeah.
Nonetheless, he's done a lot of good work, and even his work in the Batman films were good. And they were, we've talked about this before, that was the beginning of the superhero revolution. So you've got to give Michael Keaton credit.
Maybe he'll be here at the beginning of the continuous shot art film. There'll be a lot of imitators
now. It's coming. So, for Jared, I am Shane. Jared, quick, tell everybody how they can find out more about the Scope.
I think you're going to do a magic trick there for a second there.
I'm going to pull, look, there goes my finger.
Hey, if you like what we're doing, you can like, comment, or subscribe. 14 minutes, really? That was a long review. Sorry.
Wow, you're stunned. You totally ruined, you totally stepped all over your important words.
I know.
All right.
Like, comment, subscribe.
There we go. So, for Jared, I am Shane. Thanks for watching. More reviews later. Bye for now.
Punch the camera.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.